Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. When the morning had come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought the 30 pieces of silver again to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to that." And he threw the pieces of silver down in the temple and departed, and he went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought a potter's field with them to bury strangers in. Therefore that field is called the field of blood unto this day. Then that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him who was valued, whom they of the children of Israel valued, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "You say it." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they witness against you?" And he did not answer him a word, so much so that the governor greatly marveled. Now at that feast the governor was accustomed to release unto the people a prisoner, whomever they desired. And they then had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you desire that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew they had delivered him because of envy. And when he had sat down upon the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for today because of him I have suffered many things in a dream." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you desire that I release to you?" Then they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate says to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." But when Pilate saw that it gained nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." Then all the people answered and said, "Let this blood be upon us and upon our children." Then he released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered the whole band against him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and struck him upon the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put his own clothing on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. And they compelled him to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall to drink. And when he had tasted, he would not drink. And they crucified him, dividing his garments and casting lots, so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. And sitting down they watched him there, and they put up over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And those who passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocked with the scribes and elders, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And in the same way the thieves who were crucified with him also reviled him. Now there was darkness over all the land from the 6th hour to the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of those who stood there, when they heard this, said, "He calls for Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and he put it upon a reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, "Let him alone, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him." And when he had cried again with a loud voice, Jesus yielded up the spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were sheared, and the tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep arose, and came forth out of the tomb after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those who were with him, watching Jesus, seeing the earthquake, and those things that took place, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many of the women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, were there, watching from a distance, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the evening had come, a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, came, who also himself was a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his new tomb, which he had cut out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb, and departed. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there across from the tomb. Now on the next day, which was after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was still alive, that after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore command that the tomb be made sure until the 3rd day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people that he has risen from the dead, and so the last error shall be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a watch, go your way, and make it as sure as you can." And so they went and made the tomb sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
Your gift of love they crucified, they left and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the lamb.
Lesson 27, Jesus Condemned and Crucified. In today's lesson, we come to the climax of Jesus' mission in this world. He came to die for our sins, and we shall see how God used the hands of wicked men to fulfill his purpose by allowing his beloved Son, Jesus, to suffer and die in our place. We can only briefly reflect upon this chapter in today's lesson, but I would encourage you to take time to consider and ponder the great things your God has done for you when he sent his Son to suffer and die for your sins. In the last chapter, we saw how the Jewish authorities were determined to put Jesus to death, accusing him of blaspheming. Now we find them taking Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor, hoping they can get him to do their dirty work of killing an innocent man. Again, we meet Judas, who, realizing that he had betrayed innocent blood, takes the money back to the chief priests and offers it back to them. But it was too late. The betrayal had been committed, and when they did not take the money back, Judas threw it down before them and went out and hanged himself. The priest used the money to buy a field to bury strangers. The lesson of Judas is that those who betray great privilege will have the greatest guilt of all. When Pilate questioned Jesus, he found no fault in him and wanted to release him, but the Jews kept shouting for his blood. Again and again, Pilate tried to settle the crowd and to release Jesus, but the people were determined to have Jesus put to death. Pilate was even warned by his wife because she had suffered in a dream about Jesus. He thought if he offered to release one prisoner, given the choice between Barabbas, a notorious murderer, and Jesus, that the Jews would relent and let Jesus go free rather than a murderer. But still, they insisted that Jesus be put to death. At last, Pilate ordered Jesus to be scourged, thinking if they saw him beaten badly, that perhaps they would be satisfied with this, but they still desired to see him crucified. Pilate then gave in to their cries and sentenced Jesus to be crucified. When they crucified Jesus, everything happened just as the prophets had foretold centuries earlier. The soldiers gambled for his clothes, and he was nailed to a cross by his hands and feet, and they offered him sour wine with gall. All these things had been prophesied about him. Darkness covered this scene, and Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Indicating his sufferings were those foretold in Psalm 22, where this same cry is recorded. After several hours of agony upon the cross, they offered him some sour wine to drink, and after this he yielded up his spirit. Upon his death, the curtain inside the temple was torn from top to bottom. There was an earthquake, and many graves were opened. These signs caused the centurion and others with him to say, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Some of the women who had ministered to him were watching from a distance. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate if he could take the body of Jesus and bury him, and Pilate granted him permission. Joseph wrapped the body in clean linen cloths and laid the body in his own new tomb, which was nearby. He rolled a stone over the entrance of the tomb. The chief priest asked Pilate to send troops to guard the tomb, for they feared some of Jesus' disciples might steal the body and then report he had risen from the dead. It is clear that they had heard this from Jesus' teaching and were determined to get rid of him and make sure there would be no further reports about him. But nothing could stop the plan of God to raise up his beloved Son, as we shall learn in our next lesson. This remarkable story should cause us to reflect on how evil and wicked men can act because of their pride and envy. These men should have had some sense of justice and righteousness, for they claimed to be God's chosen people and prided themselves on their knowledge of God's laws. Yet with all their learning and privilege, they still sought to kill God's Son, pursuing after him with the fury and rage of wild animals. We should also see the incredible love and patience of God. For while evil men were planning to crucify their Savior, God watched on with mysterious silence as his beloved Son was rejected, despised, forsaken,
beaten, mocked, spit upon, and left to die in utter abandonment and agony. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which God was able to execute His judgment against man's sin. Jesus became a man like us in order to represent us and bear away our punishment. God is now perfectly pleased with the sacrifice of His Son, and calls us to place our trust in Him, so we may be forgiven of our sins and receive eternal life. If you want to become a child of God and have your sins washed away, then turn to the Lord Jesus today in faith and accept His sacrifice for your sins. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Matthew chapter 27, verse 54.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You are condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about how Jesus was condemned and crucified by wicked men. We saw how Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but in the end gave way to the wishes of the crowd and ordered Jesus to be beaten and put to death by crucifixion. Someone might ask the question, why did the Jews cry out for crucifixion and not stoning, as the Jewish law demanded for capital punishment? In the book of Acts, we read how the Jews took Stephen, a disciple of Jesus, and stoned him. This is what the law of God called for as the mode of capital punishment when the crime called for it. Neither Jesus nor Stephen did anything worthy of capital punishment, but still the Jews were so furious with Stephen that they dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. With Jesus, their intentions were far more cruel. The Romans devised crucifixion to be the most agonizing and horrific type of execution imaginable. The Jews were so determined in their hatred against Jesus that they not only wanted to see him executed, but utterly humiliated and put to shame, suffering to the greatest extent possible. It is hard to imagine why they would treat Jesus so viciously. But we must realize that Satan is hiding in the shadows, leading these men in their hatred toward the Son of God. When the soldiers scourged their victims, they would use a leather whip that had bones and pieces of metal tied to the cords. This weapon inflicted great gashes into the back of the victim, so that not only did the skin open, but the flesh began to tear away. It would have been horribly painful, as well as creating much blood loss. It is said that some victims died from scourging alone. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, they pounded nails through his flesh and into the cross. While hanging upon the cross, it would have been most difficult to even breathe, as the weight of the body was pulling the victim downwards. It is likely that there was some kind of crude seat fastened to the cross so the victim could rest his weight upon it. The victim was stripped of his clothes and hung entirely naked for all to view. The punishment was designed to provide the most shameful and painfully slow death as was possible. This was to warn others not to defy the Roman authorities. The Jews probably looked at this in general with much disgust, for their own scriptures told them that cursed is he that hangs upon a tree. However, in the case of Jesus, the Jews seemed very happy to have Jesus suffer such a disgraceful and horrible death. Even while he suffered on the cross, they taunted him and mocked him. Most movies that have tried to depict the sufferings of Christ upon the cross have fallen short of what it really meant for Jesus to suffer as he did. He was beaten so bad that you could not even recognize his face. Most of us would look at his sufferings and bleeding and feel the utter shame and torture was far too excessive, and our hearts would be moved by compassion for his sorrow and pain. But we must realize that what Christ endured at the hands of men is only part of the story, for the Bible tells us his soul was made an offering for sin, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God placed the weight of judgment for all of man's sins upon him while he was on the cross. This explains the anguish of his soul when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The cross, as shameful and devastating as it was for our Lord, is the means by which God can save our souls. As we think about what Jesus endured, not only at the hands of wicked men, but also what he suffered by the judgment of God for our sins, we must solemnly consider what this means to us personally. If Jesus went to the cross and died to put away your sins, then it would be very tragic if you miss out on the salvation he intended to gain for you through his sufferings on the cross. May the Spirit of God help you to see how much God loves you and how much he wants to save your soul as you take time to think carefully about Jesus' death for you. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, "Also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works." Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. On the cross I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. I seen such love in any other eye. Into thy hands I commit my spirit," he prayed. And then he died. I stood for what seemed like years, lost all sense of time. Then I felt these little hands holding on to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest sing, Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away. So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. And I said, dear children, why?